Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Please be seated. Happy Easter, one and all. No, really, happy Easter, everyone. It is good to be with you on this day to celebrate new life, to celebrate this day of joy and beauty. Before we continue with our celebration and we go on our way, I want to take just a moment to listen again to the words of the gospel, to the words of the Easter message, to just hear them one more time and let them sink into us, into our hearts and into our minds. This Easter story, of course, begins with unfinished business. Now, I don't mean the good kind of unfinished business, you know, like that book that you've just got 15 more pages to read. That's good unfinished business, but this is painful unfinished business. This is the unfinished business of grief, of loss, of leave-taking. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, the other women, they're heading out before dawn, carrying with them oil, spices, because they have the unfinished business of anointing a broken, lifeless, and cold body. They're heading to the tomb, hoping that they can say goodbye one last time. Anoint this beloved man who actually knew them, who respected them, who listened to them, treated them with dignity and worth, who filled them with hope. And yet, on this day, as they trudge through the darkness with that oil, with those spices, in the midst of their unfinished business, they recognize that the world and those in power have torn that man away from them in a blaze of corruption, dishonesty, and violence. His life has been ripped away from them. I have absolutely no doubt that as they arrived at that tomb and they saw that the stone was rolled away, that was not the only thing they were perplexed about that morning. I mean, sure, I bet they were wondering a little bit about burial customs and why the staff at the cemetery had messed things up. But I think they were probably a little more perplexed still about the question of why this good man, this man who loved them and taught them and healed people and helped the world, why did he have to die? Why did the religious leaders let this go so far and descend to death? Why in the world did the Roman occupying force that had taken over their land, which was utterly unresponsive to their desires and their petitions, why suddenly did Rome listen to their leaders as they called out for Jesus to die? I mean, they've been asking for years to repave that road and deal with the pothole, and Rome never listened. They'd asked for help with water systems and with food, and Rome never listened. Why? Why would they listen to this request? You know that their hearts and their minds had to be swirling with questions and with doubt and with pain and with loss. So the stone being rolled away, it only added to the confusion. And then men in dazzling robes show up and start asking foolish, ridiculous, and utterly hopeful questions. Why do you look for the living among the dead, they say. Well, I think we know the answer, because he's dead, right? And then the men say, don't you remember what he told you? On the third day, he will rise again. And suddenly, in the midst of that morning of unfinished business, of darkness, Hope begins to blossom in their hearts and in their lives, even as the sun begins to rise. And in hope and amazement and in faith and in joy, those faithful, strong, and determined women, they go back to the other followers of Jesus. And they start to do what they've done before. They start to tell stories about Jesus. He's not here. He's risen. Now, I'll tell you, these women have done this before. They've told stories. They've talked about Jesus taking water and turning it into wine. They've talked about Jesus laying his hands on sick people and suddenly they are healed. They have talked about how Jesus has given sight to the blind, how he's raised the dead to life, how he's touched and healed lepers, how he has walked on the water, how he fed 5,000 with just a few loaves and some fish. They have practiced this before, but never in the midst of this kind of dark, this kind of doubt, and this kind of pain. They tell the others, he is risen. Now, ladies, I'm going to tell you something. Shockingly, the men didn't listen to the women. Unbelievable, right? It's kind of like they said, huh? What? Guys, we were a little slow on the uptake here. And even as we were slow on the uptake, thankfully, Peter decided to run and check things out. And eventually he caught up with those faithful and strong first witnesses to the resurrection. And suddenly Easter started dawning more broadly. It started to spread far and wide as Peter and the other 12 catch up with Mary and Joanna and Mary and all the other women. Easter begins to dawn for humanity. And as those disciples start to understand and to see and to witness that Jesus Christ is alive, this Easter story grows. And it changes more and more lives. As Jake was reading the second reading today from Acts, we catch a little bit of that Easter message spreading even further in the world as Peter is now telling the truth that he has seen, that Jesus Christ is risen. And he's telling anybody who will listen that this resurrection, this new life, this presence of Christ defeating the grave and death means that the entire world has been remade. Peter stands up in front of a crowd made up of people who are used to thinking of the world as insiders and outsiders, Jews and Greeks, people who are good and people who are bad, Democrats and Republicans, documented and undocumented, whatever sort of situation you want to use to divide humanity. Peter starts talking to those people and says, truly, I understand that if God has raised this man from the dead, God shows no partiality. Anyone who is faithful, is beloved, is acceptable, is part of God's family. The disciples begin to understand that resurrection spreads, that the unfinished business of this world is going to be remade as Jesus rises from the tomb. It's kind of like that other reading that Jake gave us this morning from Isaiah, where God promises that eventually we will live not in the midst of the darkness of this world, not in the midst of the unfinished business of pain and death, but that we will live in a world where new heavens and new earth will come into our presence, where suddenly hope and forgiveness and life will be present, where disease and illness will be no more. Think of it, friends. Think of it. This is what Easter means. A remaking of the cosmos. A remaking of you and me. You see, Easter and the power of God is not willing to stay in one place. It wasn't willing to stay just with those women. It wasn't willing to stay just with the disciples. It wasn't willing to stay just 1,000 or 2,000 years ago in history. The resurrection isn't willing to stay inside the walls of this church or any other church today. The resurrection and the power of God is not willing to stay inside the confines of one religion. No. The love and the grace and the resurrection of Christ means that the Easter story is bursting forth all around us, in your life, in your doubts, in the unfinished business that sometimes is painful, sometimes joyful, sometimes just every day. God's resurrection is seeking to be born anew. And that is why we gather together and we sing and we ring bells and we celebrate. We gather together and we sing because what those women experienced isn't just in the past. It is here and now. Christ has broken the power of death, of brokenness, of sin, of division. And that new life is ready to burst forth in you, in me, in all of the world. Alleluia. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen. Alleluia. Good job with the bells.